jump now! He's gonna kill us!
Ryan shook his head.
Can't, until we know for sure that the other Adad is gone. If we jump back before the volcano melts the chamber completely, we fry.
I say thee nay, Agamemnon. Trepidation is unnecessary. We are quite safe.
Bullshit.
A useful enough organic byproduct of domesticated bovines, but not a correct summation in this particular instance, young Dean. This roasting is merely from the residual heat that jumped with us. See?
He pointed a bony finger downward. There lay several large lumps of glowing orange rock among them, radiating a fierce heat like miniature blast furnaces.
The old coot is right. The lava came along with us.
Some. It seems as if our timing has exceeded our quotient of luck by the nth factor.
Come on out. I can feel the redoubt's life support starting to pump in cool air.
Then his stomach rebelled, and he doubled over to retch loudly in the corner. Jump sickness almost always affected some of the companions, but usually Doc and Jack. The friends staggered to their feet or pushed from the walls, moving as far from the lava as possible. Everybody was pale and holding throbbing heads. Jack sported a bad nosebleed, and several of them used the corners of the chamber to vomit. Wordlessly, Mildred extracted a battered canteen from her backpack. Unscrewing the chained cap took two tries, but it finally came free. The physician made a bitter face, then forced herself to take a long swallow.
Here, this should help.
Mildred handed it to the nearest person. Uncaring if it was poison or whiskey, everybody took a swallow and passed it on to the next.
I hope it's better than the last batch.
Christy tilted her head and luxuriated in the cool breeze from the ceiling vents. Smoothing his rumpled fedora, JB glumly signaled agreement.
Gave us the runs for a week.
That which does not kill us makes us stronger. Or at least, that's the theory. Occasionally, I have found Nietzsche to be a total ass.
However, minds soon cleared and the knotted stomachs eased some. Not much, but some.
Best mix so far.
Ryan handed the empty canteen to Mildred. The black woman screwed the cap on tight.
Would have been better if I could have found some mint leaves.
Sitting upright, Jack arched a snowy eyebrow.
Not?
The physician shook her head.
Orange peels and scrag root. Close enough in taste, but not effect.
Hope the Matrans is still okay.
Ryan studied the floor with its collection of fiercely glowing rocks. Hawking loudly, Jack spat out an orange lump and watched the spittle sizzle into steam.
Close.
Too damn close.
But we got the rations. No hunting nudie deer or trading bullets for chickens for a while. The risk was worth it. We have enough clean food for a couple of weeks.
Doc leaned heavily on his sword stick as he got standing.
Tis a pity, though. That storeroom was a cornucopia of food. Sufficient victuals for years. Decades.
Took all we could.
Ryan checked the action on his Sig Sauer blaster. The pistol was a prized possession, a military police blaster of the finest quality, and its built-in acoustic baffler made the silenced gun no louder than a cough when it fired.
It's enough.
Dean touched his vest to ascertain he hadn't lost anything in transit. Having been caught once with no ammo, and damn near getting aced because of it, Dean was grimly determined it would never happen again. Front and back, the entire expanse of a newly acquired leather vest was sewn into tiny pockets to hold individual rounds for his blaster. He was a walking munitions dump, and the weight was awful. However, he doubted if even an arrow could penetrate the thick garment. His father told him he was carrying too much, that speed was as necessary as bullets to stay alive in Deathlands, and he was right. But the lad wasn't yet ready to admit he had overfigured his own strength. Feeling better by the minute, Ryan walked about the chamber.
Black walls with silver streaking. We've never been to this redoubt before.
Beautiful. Could this be DC? Some ancient executive redoubt?
Mildred ran fingertips across the smooth, almost frictionless surface.
Mayhap some crazed billionaire's private penthouse. Notice how the excess heat is almost totally dissipated? The life support system is exemplary.
Not good enough for me.
Christy pinched her nose shut.
hot lava and sulfur mixed with fresh vomit. Oh, this place stinks.
Ryan cracked a rare smile.
Agreed. Let's move out.
He moved to the door, then started to press the handle. Everybody readied weapons as the heavy portal smoothly swung open on silent hinges. However, instead of the usual anteroom on the other side, there was only a seamless expanse of wood, dark and solid as a mountain.
Huh. Blocked off.
Dean worked the slide of his Browning, chambering around for immediate use.
What in hell for? To hide the mat trans?
Seems likely.
Expertly, J.B. ran his calloused hands over the wood.
Not joined beams, but a single piece.
Big tree.
J.B. tapped the material lightly with a knuckle.
Paneling. Hear that? Thin stuff. No more than a half inch thick. Pretty light armor.
To keep others out, not us in.
Ryan holstered his pistol and slid the Steyr SSG-70 rifle off his shoulder.
Everybody get ready. Triple red.
Moving to the rear of the pack, Mildred eased back the hammer on her Checkmate ZKR 38 caliber target pistol. Loosening one of the many throwing knives in his belt, Jack did the same with his .357 Colt Python revolver. JB placed an ear to the wood and held his breath. Nobody spoke. Approaching the man, Ryan placed his mouth near his old friend's ear.
People? Sectroid?
He eased off the safety of the Steyr. He was down to only a few rounds, but the heavy caliber bullets would do far more damage to both man or machine than his pistol. JB stepped away.
Clear. There are no traps I can find, and nothing is moving on the other side.
Then open it.
Check.
Expertly running his hands over the wood, the armorer knocked experimentally, then scratched here and there.
Blast hole?
Jack rummaged in his fatigues and withdrew a half-stick of dynamite. Ryan rested the rifle on his shoulder.
We can kick our way through.
JB probed the edges of the alloy doorframe.
Not necessary. Ah, here we are. Found a catch.
The wood slid aside, exposing darkness. Instantly, everybody moved away from the open doorway, weapons at the ready. For several minutes, they stood motionless, patiently waiting, listening hard. When nothing happened, Ryan took the point, moving in low and fast, the pitted barrel of his Steyr sweeping the room, searching for targets. He was flanked by Jack and Christy, with JB and Doc staying as backup at the open door, ready to block it with their bodies if need be. Dean stood off to the side with Mildred, ready to cover the two men should it be necessary. It took a moment for Ryan's eye to adjust to the dim light. That wasn't good. Usually the overhead lights came on automatically. Then he saw the ceiling fixtures were completely smashed, every single bulb systematically destroyed.
But not the tiles alongside.
Somebody wanted it dark.
Ryan kept his blind side toward his companions. There was a sigh of steel on leather as Jack eased a knife from its sheath.
Ambush?
Most likely.
Carefully, the three moved through the mixture of litter that covered the floor of the anteroom. Next, instead of the usual control room, they discovered an office. The furniture was broken, the pieces scattered randomly with broken plastic and glass underfoot everywhere. Bullet holes stitched a wall at chest height. Ryan checked, and sure enough, the opposite wall was the same. A firefight had occurred. Over in a corner was the remains of an executive bar, mirror and bottles reduced to glistening shards from a small explosion.
Plastique. Homemade. Weak stuff.
Jack kicked away some unidentifiable wreckage.
No shrap. Diversion.
The hairs on the back of Ryan's neck were starting to rise, and he loosened the 9mm pistol in its belt holster.
Yeah, but a diversion for who? There's nobody here.
And no bodies.
Found them!
Christy holstered her pistol and looked at something on the backside of an overturned couch. Jack and Ryan quickly joined her. There on the dirty floor, locked in each other's arms, were two corpses. Human, male, and both long dead. The skin was drummed tight over their bones, teeth exposed in the rictus of death. Their hands were locked around each other's throat, fingers buried in the mottled flesh. A pair of knives lay nearby, as did a rusty U.S. Army Colt 45. The slide kicked back, showing it was out of ammo. At the base of the wall was a badly rusted Browning automatic rifle, its bolt action open, and showing it too was out of bullets. The men were dressed in the usual scavenged rags of a dozen different styles,